streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. 15 homes caught fire when a small plane crashed into a military housing neighborhood in San Diego. Police Lieutenant Travis East
confirmed 2 dead and 8 injured at this time. We've lost 2 souls.
President Trump has spoken with Prime Minister Netanyahu about the fatal shooting of 2 Israeli embassy employees in Washington. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt.
I spoke to the Attorney General this morning. The Department of Justice will be prosecuting the perpetrator responsible for this to the fullest extent of the law.
By a one-vote margin, the House passed President Trump's domestic policy bill, which would deny Medicaid coverage to health centers that provide abortions. Katie Rodahan is with Planned Parenthood.
There is no reason to include this provision in this budget bill, except for the fact that anti-abortion politicians want to throw Planned Parenthood patients under the bus.
And there's late word the Trump administration is banning Harvard from enrolling foreign students. Thousands of foreign students would have to transfer away from Harvard. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Ticks. These little parasites live for about 2 years.
Ticks don't die in the winter. They hibernate like a bear. So as soon as it gets above freezing, they potentially can come out.
That's Dr. James Thatcher, a physician at the Aspirus Tick-Borne Illness Center. Summer is known as tick season because temperatures between 70 and 90 degrees are ideal for breeding and make the ticks more active.
Yeah, I know Bambi is really cute in my backyard, but 1,000 ticks per deer. So you really want to keep your distance from Bambi. That's the first thing. So the other thing, obviously, you want to do in your yard, they have this liquid fence that you can, and it's a lot of these natural things, too. And you pour that on the edges of the yard. It's supposed to ward off the deer.
Common ticks here in Wisconsin are the wood and deer ticks.
The difference is the wood tick is more of a brown color with a light brown design on its back. The deer tick has kind of that burnt orange belly.
That's Ashley Johnson, a nurse practitioner also at Aspirus Tick-Borne Illness Center.
And then the other one, that Asian longhorn tick now does live in the North Woods. So that is a bigger dog tick, but also has brown legs.
Then there is the nymph, the most infectious and tiniest one of them all.
So as the spring goes on and the ticks that have been mating on the deer start to produce babies, and those babies get a little bigger and they start seeking out their own blood source. Those are the ones that are most likely to infect you.
And they're hard to see, so it's best to wear bright clothes to spot them.
Because it really doesn't want you to know it's there. First, it numbs the skin like a surgeon. Secondly, it gives you an antihistamine, so you don't itch right away. And the third thing it does is it gives you an anticoagulant, so you don't bleed down your leg.
For Civic Media News, I'm Brittany Merlot.
The tush push stays. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Eagles' power play, the tush push, will not be banned. The vote was 22-10, 2 votes shy of the 24 required to ban the play. The meeting got tense. Eagles owner Jeff Lurie yelling at times in defense of the play. Former center Jason Kelsey spoke as well. And a report says it was not the Packers' idea to ban the tush push. Instead, the league had asked Green Bay to introduce the measure. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur, interviewed on the FanDuel Network, asked, can Jair Alexander still be a Pro Bowl defensive back?
Yeah, Ja is a great player. Unfortunately, he's been kind of snake bit the last couple of years, and he's missed a lot of time. And so it's hard to play up to your potential when you're not on the grass. I would say, yeah, I think that's just something that we're working through. And, you know, hopefully we'll have some resolution sooner than later.
Baseball, the Brewers and Pirates scheduled for tonight, but showers in the forecast for Pittsburgh. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The sunshine has returned, finally, and more mild temperatures slowly creeping in. Highs today flirt with about 60, and we'll make it to the low 60s tomorrow. With the mid-60s expected to dominate the weekend, so does the sunshine. No chances of rain until late Memorial Day. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 57.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the Doctors in Recital who will sing in the studio. Then Milwaukee-based director, producer, and UW-Milwaukee professor Tate Bunker joins the show. It will feel like a Friday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live on location, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is Thursday, May 22nd, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in. We are live on location once again, and I hope that you're watching us on StreamYard, or well, we're streaming on StreamYard, but watch us on Facebook, on Twitter, X, Twix, or YouTube, because what a background here. We are on the banks of the Black River here in Black River Falls, Wisconsin, at the Mark Home Green, not Holmgren, but the Mark Home Green Memorial Boat Landing here on Black River in Black River Falls. Good afternoon, everybody. Glad to have you along. Mr. Zommer is back at the World Headquarters in downtown Madison on State Street. Zommers, how the heck are you?
Doing well. It's pretty nice here, too. Not as nice as it is there. You know, I'm not out in the beautiful outdoors, so, you know, but sure. But it's not raining, so we take that.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I tell you what, we were planning on doing the show at Eau Claire today, up in Eau Claire, because we're going to be there a little bit later on today. But as things would have it, I got out of Madison a little bit. Here's what happened. When we do these remote shows, I have a battery pack. It's called a Jackery. Jackery is the name of the battery pack. And I'd forgotten that at the World Headquarters, so I had stopped down there.
Oh.
And so by the time I went to Richland Center, because I'm picking up Mom, because we're going up to Eau Claire to see my youngest niece's, Isabel, her graduation. And so by the time, I'm like, we're not going to make it. But all the better, because I love nothing if not a great adventure. I said, well, we'll stop. We'll find some place along the route to do the show, because with the Starlink satellite and the battery pack, you can pretty much do the show from anywhere. So we pull into Black River Falls, and that was great. And we found this great location here, because we're going to be talking in hour two today, not going to want to miss it, Alex Modorsky, of the Associate Director of Government Relations of the Nature Conservancy, is going to be here on the show talking about the great outdoors. I thought, what better place to talk about conservation than along the banks of the Black River? So that worked out great. Couple of things here as we go throughout the afternoon. Number one, I thought that I was the last person to use the battery pack, and I always plug it in after I'm done. When I picked it up this morning, it was unplugged, and when I plugged it in just now, we are down to 30. Now it's 32. We've just gone from 30. We're down to 32% on the battery pack. So we'll see. Does the battery pack end before the show, or does the show end before the battery pack? So that'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun to watch as we go throughout the next 2 hours. Also,
you know, when you're along the river, it's nature. And so I set up the satellite down by the river. And Mom's along. She's on the bench over here. And she goes, I don't want to worry you, but you want to come here and look at this? I set up the satellite right next to a nest of snakes. There are snakes, Zomers, mere feet from where we're broadcasting from.
Snakes. Why did it have to be snakes?
That's exactly right. The great Indiana Jones line. Snakes. Why they're... Now, I don't have a petrified fear of snakes. But, you know, when you have your back to them during a show. So Mom's job, she's just outside of camera range with a stick. She is making sure that the snakes do not attack me during the show. It's literally a nest of snakes. They're like in a pipe right by where I set up the satellite, right on the banks of the Black River. And just before we went on the air, a bird flew over and took a crap right on the picnic table, missed me by about 6 inches.
Can't confirm. Yes. Have you ever been pooped on by a bird, Todd?
Yes, I have, actually. Have you?
Yes. Once I was standing in the driveway. I will remember this forever. I was probably in like second grade, but I was walking up. My dad asked me something. Don't remember what he asked, but I remember I said yes and gave a thumbs up and it crapped on my thumb.
Well, there you go. So it's great to be outside, as they say. These are the things that make the show interesting. Because, I mean, if we're just sitting there in the studio talking about the news of the day, come on. I mean, anybody could do that. But, I mean, when you're up against the battery pack, you got a nest of snakes about 15 yards from you, and you got birds attacking you. Now that's a challenge. See if you can do a show. So this will be a lot of fun because it's a beautiful day here in Black River Falls. Coming up in at the bottom of the hour, our old friend James Kelly, the bureau chief, Northwest bureau chief of Civic Media News, is going to be joining us from, I believe, Chippewa Falls, from our WCFW, the TAP. I was listening to the station on the way up here, and I heard a promotion for the show today. I said yesterday, join us from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. WCF, I looked at my mom and I said, or close to it. You know, yes. Look, we got close. We're in Jackson, beautiful Jackson County, which is right next to Eau Claire County.
And so it really is beautiful.
It's a beautiful day. It's an absolutely beautiful day. So James Kelly's going to be talking about what's making news in this part of the state. This is one of the things I love about traveling and finding out what makes Wisconsin great is, you know, sometimes we get kind of enamored with our two big cities of Milwaukee and Madison. But no, as it turns out, there's a lot of people that are paying attention to things outside of those areas. So James Kelly will be in talking about Northwest Wisconsin, and we may see if we could gin him up a little bit and ask him about his beloved New York Yankees and their juiced bats. So we'll see. We'll talk to James Kelly coming up a little bit later about that. And then, of course, we have what's worse and timely indeed, as Mike Lucas says. We did not plan this, but the what's worse for today, heights or water? And we're right next to the water. I would say maybe it depends whether there's snakes next to the water.
Well, and also, I feel like it's, you know, as far as common fears go, it's extreme heights or really deep water, because those are things people are afraid of.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Anyway, so it's going to be a great day on location here. Then tomorrow, we'll see what happens. If it's a day like today, instead of the Black River behind me, you may end up seeing Lake Wissota. Our old friend Pat Kreitlow has offered us to come up there for a little cookout at maybe on the pontoon boat. We'll
see. Here's hoping.
So we're all over. We're all over this week as we get ready for Memorial Day. Our friend Jeff Perry, our ongoing contributor on Facebook, says, let's get some wagers going. Can we get some odds from Vegas on today's show? Which comes first? Battery pack runs out of juice, snakes attack Todd's mom, or birds poop on the equipment? That is a great idea, Jeff. That is a great idea. The snakes seem restless because it's warmed up in the last hour. It's beautiful right now. And the snakes I was mere inches from the snakes and did not see them as I set up the satellite, or B, they've just come out as the weather has warmed up. So the snakes seem restless. I will say that. This is actually really fun. I enjoy shows like this.
You got a snake stick? You got just something to gently scoop them up and move them out of the
way? I gave mom, all I could find is a smaller stick. But she's pretty good at snakes.
All right, that's all you
need. As long as they're not a rattlesnake, she's pretty snake friendly.
Yeah, as long as you know what to do and you're not going to freak them out, I mean, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I think we'll be absolutely fine. Well, let's tell you a little bit about beautiful Jackson County here, and in particular, Black River Falls, as long as we're here, because these are one of the things we love doing, getting out on the road and giving you a taste of flavor of different parts of Wisconsin and what makes Wisconsin great. So Black River Falls, beautiful Jackson County here in northwest Wisconsin. It is the county seat of Jackson County. In 2020, census said that the population was 3,523. Now, if you would have asked me without looking it up, I would have said it was closer to 5,000 or 6,000. But no, Black River Falls, just over 3,500 people. And here's something interesting. And I just saw our friend Robert Pilot the other day in Madison, of the host of Native Roots Radio every evening on Civic Media. And Black River Falls is home to the headquarters of the Ho-Chunk Nation in Wisconsin. And, of course, Robert Pilot, part of the Ho-Chunk Nation, he is a legislator in the Ho-Chunk Nation, and told me just the other night that his term is now expiring and running out. So he said he'll have some more time to come on our show, and I can't wait for that, because one of the things I love when I travel around Wisconsin is you realize the rich and important history of Native people here in the state of Wisconsin, and the Ho-Chunk Nation, vital history, so integral and intertwined with much of our great history here in the state of Wisconsin. Also, there's a large monument to Black River Falls veterans of World War I, World War II, and the Korean War, and the Vietnam War, as well as to local Medal of Honor recipient Mitchell Red Cloud Jr., which was put up near the Chamber of Commerce building. Named the Field of Honor, the attached plaques provide accounts of the veteran services. The site is also the start of a 4-mile foundation trail, a signed hiking and bike path that encircles the eastern part of the community. We passed that actually as we came in there, and it's really, really well taken care of. And I know Zahmer and I put together a brand new show we're going to air on Monday for Memorial Day. And again, just as a reminder, Memorial Day, of course, set aside for those who fell in the line of duty and in service. But it's also certainly appropriate to take a moment and pause and reflect on the service of everyone who is. We set Veterans Day aside in November to remember all veterans, but in particular, those who fell in the line of duty this Memorial Day. We're going to have one of the administrators for the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs on Monday. He oversees the veteran cemeteries. Very, very interesting and important work. So I hope you tune in on Monday for that. But again, how many times, Honors, we talked a little bit about this with Trigvi Olson and Pat Kreitlow yesterday. We drive through these communities in Wisconsin. We probably have some. I know we have one in Richland Center. You might have one in Manitowoc as well. These veterans memorials. But how many times do we actually stop and read them and understand the importance and the significance of those right in our communities who have given all and given back to our land?
Not enough. That is the answer there.
Yeah, absolutely. So they do it really well here in Black River Falls. If you're up here, it's right on the main drag here as you're going through Black River Falls. Great Veterans Memorial to World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, and, of course, that Medal of Honor, the highest military honor that a person could have, to Mitchell Red Cloud Jr. here in Black River Falls. So if you're ever in the area, stop in here. Black River Falls is the focus of Michael Lessie's book, Wisconsin Death Trip, which was used photographs and newspaper cuttings to highlight the harshness of life in the community during the late 19th century and the effects it had on the psychology of the inhabitants. So right there, just another little bit of history as well. Has a vibrant downtown here in Black River Falls, like a lot of communities in Wisconsin, kind of gone through different periods where, you know, big box stores come in, has an effect downtown, but they've really done a lot to try to revitalize the downtown here in Black River Falls. And of course, Black River, a great place to kayak or canoe as well. Part of what makes Wisconsin great, Black River Falls here in Jackson County. Come on back, take a couple look at some headlines for you, and then coming up at 2:30, James Kelly with news of the area. We're live on location in Black River Falls. It's the Todd Allball Show, right here across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Be a water-ready family this summer and keep your loved ones safe around water. Join the family at the SWC YMCA and learn from professionals how to become a better version of yourself while providing swimming lessons for young ones. The SWC YMCA is offering a summer special. Pay for the summer up front and they'll waive the new membership fee. Invest in yourself and your family and embark on your next summer adventure with confidence.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Fear you're missing out when you miss our conversations on air? You can always join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to Todd Allball Show, live on location from beautiful Black River Falls along the banks of the Black River here at the Mark Holmgreen Memorial Boat Launch. Beautiful day, kind of fluffy clouds, blue sky. River pretty calm behind me here as we sit on the banks of the Black River. Coming up hour two, going to talk to Alex Modorsky, who is the Associate Director of Government Relations at the Nature Conservancy. Talk about the Knowles-Nelson bill a little bit more, and we talked about that with Tia Nelson here a month ago or so for Earth Day and the Stewardship Fund, how important that is as we go through this budget process in Madison, the Joint Finance Committee right now, deciding how our tax dollars will be spent. And historically, things like the Nature Conservancy or the Stewardship Fund and conservation in general have been, you know, they've been able to find some common ground with that. But so far, and particularly in the Assembly with Speaker Robin Voss, he has not signaled that so far. So we're going to talk a little bit with Alex here in hour two about where we can maybe find some common ground. Is there hope to keep funding the stewardship fund here in Wisconsin and other issues of conservation. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, James Kelly, our Northwest Bureau Chief for Civic Media News, is going to join us and talk about this region of the state, Northwest Wisconsin. Very, very important to the state. Of course, they had some issues in terms of healthcare. One of the big hospitals in the Eau Claire Chippewa Valley shutting down. Now maybe some plans to have another hospital take its place. But what happened last night in Washington, D.C.? And here's how we like to frame these things. Lots of things happening in Washington, D.C. The fire hose of information, as they say. But how does it affect us here across the state of Wisconsin? I want to spend a couple of minutes on that. Last night, the reconciliation bill passed the House of Representatives by one vote. By one vote. I believe two of the Republicans took a pass on it, voted no. One Republican voted present, and all the Democrats voted against it. But here's the thing I was listening to. I was listening to another radio program this morning, and the host was absolutely, I never even occurred to me until she said this, absolutely right about this. The vote passed last night, the House Reconciliation Bill, by one vote. And yesterday, or overnight before yesterday, one of the Democratic House members passed away after being diagnosed with cancer earlier this year. Since the election, three Democrats have died. And so this person was pointing out, she's absolutely right. Had it not been for the death, and I feel very, very bad for their family. Had it not been for the death of this Democratic member, it might not have passed.
I bet those three Democrats would feel so bad if they were still around.
Right? But there is, and we talked about this with the whole David Hogg issue. I don't want to go too far down this path, but there is a point. There is a point to be made here that some of these people who are long in the tooth, shall we say, if they stay too long and they die in office, there can be actual consequences to this. So, I mean.
Yeah, I think there's a fine line between ageism and also self-awareness of when you can no longer do a job.
Yeah, exactly. So the reconciliation bill passed by one vote. Looking at wispolitics.com now, it says that the Trump administration, this is a quote from U.S. Representative Gwendolyn Moore, Democrat of Milwaukee, in response to this. She says, quote, the Trump administration continues to weaponize the justice system to score political points and intimidate others. As member of Congress, it is part of our duty to conduct oversight of the executive branch. My colleague was performing this work when she visited the Immigration Detention Center in her district. That is Gwendolyn Moore, Congresswoman from Milwaukee, talking about the arrest earlier this week of U.S. Representative LaMonica McGivern, Democrat of New Jersey, who's now been charged with assault after an incident outside an ICE detention facility. According to WisPolitics, Wisconsin Dems are arguing the reconciliation bill that passed last night. Actually, it was early this morning, I think at 5:30 or 6 o'clock Eastern time. Mike Johnson kept him in Congress all night long, while Republicans are largely standing beside it. House Rules Committee held a hearing on the bill beginning at 1 a.m. yesterday, and Rep. Gwen Moore slammed the tax cut plan during her speech over 6 hours into the meeting. Moore said, quote, we're sitting here bragging about so-called savings, and what are we going to do with these savings? What are we going to do with the savings? Are we going to take these savings and reduce our debt? Nope. We're not going to do that, Moore said. These tax cuts are so massive that we don't have enough kids to starve. We don't have enough people to deny health care. So we're just going to ask Americans to finance tax cuts for billionaires on the national debt, unquote. That was Representative Gwendolyn Moore. As we said, the bill passed last night, 215 to 213, largely along party lines. The two Republicans, Warren Davidson of Ohio and Thomas Massey of Kentucky, voting no. One Republican, Andy Harris of Maryland, voted present, and two Republicans not voting. And now goes to the Senate. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat of Madison, in a press conference on the bill said it would take away health care for 230,000 Wisconsinites to fund these tax breaks for the super wealthy. Senator Baldwin said, quote, folks, you don't have to have a hearing at 1 a.m. when you are proud of what you're doing. You got a congressional hearing at 1 a.m. if you're trying to hide what you're doing from the American people. Look, if they were just cutting waste, fraud, and abuse, they wouldn't be rushing this bill through under the cloak of darkness, unquote. Could not agree with Congresswoman Baldwin more. And the office of U.S. Representative Mark Pocan, a Democrat of the town of Vermont in Dane County, told WisPolitics in a message ahead of the vote, the representatives, quote, will not be voting for that garbage bill, unquote. We shall see. There will be implications. In particular, really bad for rural health care. We'll talk more about that with James Kelly next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Town Hall Ball Show live on location here in Black River Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The FDA has approved the use of gene editing to stop the PRRS virus in pigs. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Matt Culberson, the COO of PIC, is here to share how big of an issue PRRS was that it led to this decision.
Yeah, the impact of PRRS, unfortunately, has been dramatic and growing over time. I was only ever worked in the swine industry. I grew up on a swine farm in Western Illinois, and I can remember some of the initial cases and hearing my dad and others talk about the challenges that it was causing initially. And, you know, today, if we look across the U.S. swine industry or really the global swine industry, you know, probably greater than 50% of the pigs at any given time in most industries are positive to the PRRS virus.
Culbertson says that they do not expect this gene editing technology to make it to the commercial side until 2026. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news next.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Goldlight provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at some news in the agriculture world. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection would like to remind farmers and private landowners to sign up for the Conservation Reserve Enhancement Program, which does provide tax benefits, and it is very flexible with no minimum acreage requirement. Also, the Dane County Dairy Promotion Committee is looking for volunteers for cows on the concourse. If you are interested in volunteering, you can check out more details at danecountydairy.org. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The sunshine has returned, finally, and more mild temperatures slowly creeping in. Highs today flirt with about 60, and we'll make it to the low 60s tomorrow. With the mid-60s expected to dominate the weekend, so does the sunshine. No chances of rain until late Memorial Day. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 57.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, they tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, we'll be joined by Allison McManus of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We'll discuss the impacts of the draconian cuts to veteran health care from the big, brutal bill.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Location on Black River, as a matter of fact, the beautiful shores of Black River in Black River Falls, Wisconsin. Tunnelball, along with Zomers, back at the world headquarters down in Madison. Glad to have you along here on a Thursday, the 22nd of May, 2025. It's beautiful out here, Zomers. It's absolutely beautiful. I thank you for playing that. That's one of my favorite songs, actually.
It's a great tune. And it really does look beautiful out there.
Yeah. One of my other favorite people here at Civic Media. We're always proud and happy to have him join us. He joins us from the beautiful plush studios in downtown Chippewa Falls. It is James Kelly, our Northwest Wisconsin Bureau Chief for Civic Media News. James, how the heck are you?
Well, I'm good. You know, there might not be as much sunshine inside of the office here as you're getting broadcasting from outside, but there's less snakes. So good trade-off for me.
Exactly right. If you didn't join us at the top of the show, Todd set up the Starlink satellite here right next to the Black River because there was no obstructions and it was a cement surface. What I did not know until after I got it set up is the pipe right under the cement surface contained a nest of snakes. So we're seeing, hopefully they will stay about 10 to 15 yards behind me until the end of the broadcast. I'm not sure how I'm going to get the satellite dish back, but...
Yeah, if you start sounding maybe a little off, maybe like you're falling asleep at the wheel here, we'll get EMS out there for anti-venom.
Is there a Nepi pen for anti-venom?
Yeah.
Are you anti-snake? Do snakes bother you, James?
I don't love snakes, that's for sure. We didn't really have that much of a problem with snakes on Long Island, but we did get some water snakes, some garter snakes, and don't like seeing them.
Well, that's the thing. We know from earlier visits that you're not a native of Wisconsin, although you're doing a great job covering the state of Wisconsin in the Northwest. But you're a Long Island, New York guy, and we'll get into sports a little bit later because I know your beloved New York Knicks are right in the middle of the big playoffs. Let's start a little closer to home, though, James. We talked right before the break here. Last night, out in Washington, D.C., the House of Representatives passed the reconciliation bill by one vote, the slimmest of margins. It basically took a Democrat dime, not made up, actually real, in order to pass this bill last night. And I think what's interesting to me, James, is the implications of what this means across the state of Wisconsin. And right before the break, we read a quote there from U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, Democrat of Wisconsin, saying this is going to really have a real impact when it comes to health care. And I think in particular, rural health care, nobody's covered this subject better at Civic Media than you, James, about what has gone on in Eau Claire. Just remind viewers again of the already health care concerns and crises you folks are facing in Northwest Wisconsin and what this might be.
Yeah, so a little over a year ago, the HSHS hospitals in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls both closed, as did a number of Prevea clinics in the region, just taking away, you know, general primary care from residents in addition to the two hospitals. Now, especially in Chippewa Falls, that's problematic because it was the only hospital here. It also operated as the county morgue. So the county had to come to an agreement with another place to kind of temporarily serve as the morgue and kind of get them up to that code. There have been plans for new hospitals. They're going to take a while. The soonest would be the partial reopening of St. Joseph's later this year, if that's deemed financially viable. But once those announcements started coming out, my first question to pretty much every elected representative from here and even Governor Evers was, if Medicaid is cut, as we've heard many, many times, is there a way that these hospitals can survive on their own? Because the reason the HSHS hospitals closed a year ago was because they were not getting enough in Medicaid reimbursements. That's from Governor Evers, the secretary of the Department of Health in Wisconsin, and pretty much every nurse, staffer, anyone at the hospitals that I talked to during the closing, every single one of them said, we are not getting enough in Medicaid reimbursement. So if Medicaid money is not going to be coming in for these new hospitals, it creates a little bit of a financial hiccup. Governor Evers referred to it as they'll be playing behind the ball from the start.
Yeah, and I, it's so interesting to me. Obviously, I would say concerning as well, but so interesting. I mean, where we are here in Black River Falls today, we're literally maybe five blocks away from the Republican Party headquarters, very prominent storefront down here. You see a lot of Trump flags in this part of the state still, a lot of signs that are still up for Trump and Vance. And it gets back to this question, James, of people voting against their own self-interest. And in your reporting and just living in the Chippewa Valley area, what's your sense of this? Has this really hit people yet? People that might have voted for President Trump and Vice President Vance in November, has it hit them that this is going to have real implications for the Chippewa Valley area in terms of health care? Or do you think this is a situation where they just don't feel it yet?
I actually think the first people that it really did hit was the farming community here, when contracts were being canceled. And, you know, you have to very carefully plan how you're going to, you know, operate your farm throughout the year for when are you going to get the best crops? When are you going to get the most crops? When is that going to be ready? When is this going to be ready? So when I think some of those contracts and uncertainty about SNAP, which gets a lot of local food, like that really started to, I guess, not wake people up, but make people start questioning like, hey, this is something that we have to address because we're making those plans now. And Medicaid is no different. I've been to, I can't even count how many town halls in the last 2 or 3 months that are specifically based on Medicaid and the type of coverage that especially people with disabilities or people who have children with learning disabilities or are maybe autistic and nonverbal and need a very significant amount of hands-on care. It's these people who are going to suffer first. And then as the situation continues to get worse and you might see some more rural hospital closures, more people are going to have to go farther. EMS services are going to be stretched out further. It's going to be more of a rough situation. And I think when people start to see, well, the hospital nearest me just closed because they weren't getting enough in Medicaid reimbursements, I think they will then realize that maybe this was not the best move.
We're talking with James Kelly, our Northwest Bureau Chief for Civic Media News, and our WCFW, the TAP headquarters in downtown Chippewa Falls on a Thursday here. James, I really appreciate you bringing up, you know, whether it's SNAP benefits or whether it's helping kids and particularly those with challenges, because the narrative that my former party likes to put out there is, you know, oh, these are young white guys who aren't working, able-bodied people that aren't working. That's the narrative they're trying to put out there. That's who we're going after. And I in my opinion, that's a cover-up, a facade, because what these cuts, and I think it's important to also remind listeners, this ain't done yet. This cake is a long way from baked because this still has to pass the U.S. Senate. And right now, the votes are not there. We'll see whether Trump can strong-arm them or not. Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, is one that says he's a no, but because he thinks it doesn't cut enough in spending. To get back to what you picked up on or what you said earlier, James, that these are very these cuts that may go through if passed the House and signed by Trump, this could have real implications, not just in Northwest Wisconsin, but all over, and in particular in rural areas where this affects a lot of people.
Yeah, and all of these things are interconnected, right? You know, if you're not able to pay for extra care for a child who needs it, you can't go to work. And I know up in like the Barron County area, one of their big struggles right now is just building more housing because they have so much availability in the job market, so many jobs that are going unfilled right now. The problem is they don't have enough housing to bring people in from other parts of the state to say, move here, build here, like, let's build your life here in Rice Lake or Barron County as a whole. They just don't have the housing for it. So they're going that way. And, you know, if more people have to leave the workforce because they can't afford to, you know, pay out of pocket for very specific and specialized care for someone who needs it, or they're not able to afford their own medications, so they can't work anymore, that's going to have an economic impact as well.
I mean, I grew up in Southwest Wisconsin, a rural area in Richland Center, and, you know, a lot of times people had to, you know, for more complicated procedures, drive into Madison or maybe La Crosse. But I know all across Wisconsin, Northwest Wisconsin is not an exception. For some folks, driving to a larger city or different place for care is just not an option. Either they live alone or they can't afford the gas and this sort of thing. So it's a situation where a lot of really good people could be harmed because they're not going to have access to rural health care across the state.
Yeah, and that's actually something Dunn County is working on. They're doing a new pilot program in the month of June where they're going to offer sort of public transportation bus services in different quadrants of the whole county. So obviously you can't run, you know, all day, every day bus service in the more rural areas of the county, but people still need to go to Menominee for, say, doctor's appointments or just to go to a restaurant or shop or whatever. So they're doing a new pilot program that's just aimed at taking a bus, go out there, call ahead. If we'll come pick you up and we'll bring you to Menominee and we'll bring you back.
Wow. Yeah, very, very interesting. All right, James, let's move on from rural health care, which, of course, is, to me at least, I think one of the biggest implications of this huge reconciliation bill if it is passed by the Senate and if it's signed by Trump. But let's move on from that. What other news could we share with people across the state? What's going on in beautiful Northwest Wisconsin here?
Now, well, this is appropriate since you're right there by the river. Later last week, the city of Hudson got crews out onto the St. Croix River and removed another one of those abandoned boats that now lawmakers are looking at some pretty serious legislation to levy up to $10,000 in fines and maybe 9 months in jail for this.
Really? Now, this is fantastic because a lot of, I heard you on Kreitlow's show on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 6 until 9. He'll appreciate the plug because a lot of focus. And Jay Matinera is obsessed with deep thought. Almost said something else. Deep thought down there in Milwaukee, which wreaked all kinds of havoc. They finally got that off of the Lake Michigan shoreline. But tell us more about this boat in this part of the state, which was stranded right for even longer.
Yeah, since July. So it's been almost a full year that it's been out on the St. Croix River. It was a 54-foot yacht named Sweet Destiny.
Destiny's Child. All right,
yeah,
pretty good.
A couple weeks ago, the city started warning the owner, hey, if you don't take care of this now that like the winter's over, we're going to start fining you. They passed an ordinance back in October to make it like hundreds of dollars of fines. And then eventually they just said, well, let's just get a bunch of neighbors and city crews out there and we'll patch it up, get it seaworthy, and we'll tow it away for good. We won't have to worry about it anymore.
What's going on with these abandoned boats in Wisconsin? Can't people steer anymore? What's going on?
I don't know. And you know what? The neighborhood that I grew up in on Long Island was it was on the North Shore. And it was like pretty much right near the beach. So we had kind of a marshy area in our neighborhood. And For the longest time, there was an abandoned boat out there, and we always said, we're going to go swim out there one day and see what's in that abandoned boat. We never did. Our parents said, you will definitely die of some weird disease.
All right, come on back. More James Kelly on the other side. We're on location in Black River Falls. It's the All Ball Show on the Civic Media, Radio Wisconsin. We're rolling on the river.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The independent state legislature theory met a skeptical U.S. Supreme Court in 2023 in Moore v. Harper, a North Carolina gerrymandering case. The Michigan GOP tried to employ the fringe theory to undo Michigan's Question 2 citizen ballot initiative, but the U.S. Supreme Court refused the case May 19th. Proponents argue the independent state legislature theory gives legislatures ultimate power over federal election rules based on a widely dismissed interpretation of the election clause of the U.S. Constitution. In North Carolina's case, the legislature admitted it gerrymandered but said it had the final say and the courts and governor had no jurisdiction. In 2022, Michigan's Promote the Vote Question 2 ballot initiative passed 60% to 40%. It enshrined multiple voting rights in the state constitution, including 9 days of early voting, guaranteeing the right to vote without harassment, offering a permanent vote-by-mail list, and mandating drop boxes and several other important voting reforms. 11 GOP legislators tried to invalidate the ballot question using the ISL theory. They argued that only the state legislature could make election law, not those pesky constituents. The Michigan Supreme Court dismissed the case in April 2024, and on May 19th, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear the case. We have more on ISL and the Michigan case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're live on location at the, let me get the name right here, Mark Holm Green, not Holmgren, the Mark Holm Green Memorial Boat Launch here in Black River Falls. We are right on the Black River. No boats stranded here. We are joined by our Bureau Chief of Civic Media News of Northwest Wisconsin, James Kelly, who reports there was a Destiny's Child boat. So where was it again at?
Or
was
Sweet it stranded Destiny, at? The name.
Sweet Destiny, not Destiny's Child. Sweet Destiny, where was that?
Where the boat was? It was on the St. Croix River.
On the St. Croix. It could have been Trygve Olsen's boat. You know, he grew up over there on the St. Croix River.
I hope he's not catching those fines.
No. But is it still there? They got rid of it finally.
Yeah, they did. They did.
They got
they
it.
Towed
they
it on it. Friday.
All right. Very good. James Kelly joins us from WCFW, The Tap, in beautiful downtown Chippewa Falls. Glad to have you. All right, now, what are you doing tomorrow, James, tomorrow afternoon?
Oh, tomorrow afternoon. You know, I did hear a rumor from Pat Kreitlow that there might be a boat going out on the water for a live show.
That, depending on the weather, if we don't have to wear ice skates, there's a we may launch the SS Minnow, captained by Captain Stubing, better known as Pat Kreitlow. And so if you want to come on over to Lake Wissota and join us for the show on the pontoon, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, I'll bring the sunscreen.
All right, very good. Well, come on over. There may be a beverage or two and a brat. We'll see. But that'll be very, very exciting. We're looking forward to that. All right, James, any other news, newsy things before we get into some more fun here?
Oh, so much newsy stuff. Muskie season's opening up north.
A
few days ago, Governor Evers asked the U.S. Small Business Administration to designate Douglas County as a hub zone, a historically underutilized business zone, with the upcoming Blatnick Bridge reconstruction project work going on. There's a lot of community organizing, trying to make sure all of those businesses are able to remain viable during a pretty lengthy construction project.
Yeah, we were up there last winter when former President Biden announced the funding under the Infrastructure Act. That's a huge thing for the economy there, both in the Superior area as well as Duluth over in Minnesota. So big happenings there for sure.
Yeah, that would definitely getting the hub zone designation would definitely be a big help there, especially right now.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll certainly hope all goes well there. Anything else, Mr. Kelly?
Anything else? What kind of news are you looking for, Todd?
Well,
you want fun news?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we have 5 minutes or 4 minutes. Give us some fun, James.
Yeah, productive news. Up in Ashland, a bunch of local businesses are doing a PB&J drive, trying to just kind of address the food insecurity issues going on up there, because some of the local food shelters are saying they're seeing some more active use of their food shelves, about 15%. A lot of housing projects going on in the Eau Claire, Dunn County area. Actually, earlier last week, the Eau Claire City Council approved a one-time $40,000 payment to help a local homeless shelter in the downtown area here stay open. That's run by the Diocese of La Crosse, the Catholic Charities Sojourner House. So that was a pretty big story, considering if it had closed for the summer, there wouldn't have been many other places to go.
And again, I heard you talking with Pat Kreitlow about this on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Explain just in a minute or two here. Other counties are now bringing homeless people there and essentially dumping them off at Eau Claire because I think they're going to be taken care of. Is that right?
Yeah. So when it happened over the winter and over the fall, the Eau Claire City Council asked Attorney General Josh Call to kind of look into this and see if it was legal. And the agencies involved kind of went back and said, no, we talked to these people. We told them where they were going. We explained to them that we don't have the resources here to shelter them or get them food. And they agreed to go to Eau Claire. The problem is there is a very much growing homeless population in the Eau Claire area, and they are sometimes coming from other areas of the state because there are more services here, which is putting more strain on the services that we do have. And, you know, increasing costs was one of the things that the Sojourner House might have had to close over the summer for. There's not exactly a lot of short-term answers for unaffordable housing in Eau Claire. It's a pretty low vacancy rate, just not a lot of empty housing.
Well, and I appreciate you following this, and that's another great advantage of the Civic Media app for people who live in Madison or Milwaukee or Green Bay. Dial up WCFW The Tap, follow James, because these are really, really important stories that all of Wisconsin should really be concerned about. All right, James, a couple of minutes left here before the top of the hour. Your beloved New York Knicks, growing up in New York, you knocked off the Celtics, the defending world champions, and now you're up against the evil Indiana Pacers who took out my Bucks. And last night, the choke sign, the Reggie Miller choke sign for the Pacers last. What's going on?
It was every nightmare I've ever had about the Knicks, which they've always felt like the most cursed organization in professional sports besides the Jets. Like, it's right? Just everything that can go wrong will go wrong with all the injuries last year, losing to Indiana, and to lose game one, I was in rough shape last night.
But I feel like they can come back. I mean, because they're kind of a hot, I mean, they're a, I would say one of, not the hottest team going to the playoffs in the NBA.
Absolutely. And I think just the fact that I know Jason Tatum got hurt in game five, but the Knicks had already won that game. So they were going to be up 3-1 on the Boston Celtics. I would have been shocked if they had won two games, period, in the series and lost. I would have been like, okay, we're not as far off as I thought we were from competing with them. But to win the series was incredible. And then to just go from that to what happened in the last 3 minutes of regulation in game one of this playoff series, it was not very fun for me.
Well, I wish you all the best of luck because I do not want the Pacers to win after they knocked off the Bucks. So, you know, I wish you all the best with the Knicks. The juiced bats for the Yankees, are they still hitting well?
They are. Aaron Judge is he dipped under 400 yesterday. Tragic. Yeah, we better get him out of here. Ship him off. But they did win the Subway Series against the Mets. Juan Soto's grand return to the Bronx.
All right, well, that's good. All right, appreciate that. Well, we'll keep pulling for the Brewers. Appreciate you, James. Nice to see you on the pontoon boat tomorrow. You can find all of James's work at WCFW. Thank you so much, James Kelly. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, talk to you soon. Come on back. We'll talk conservation with Alex Modorsky after this. We're on location at Black River Falls on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Survivor, I'm gonna make it. What? I will survive. What? Keep on surviving.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is targeting Harvard again. CBS's Wendy Gillette.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says she's ordering her department to terminate Harvard's student and exchange visitor program, which would mean it could no longer enroll foreign students.
A California judge has blocked the administration from terminating the legal status of international students nationwide. Investigators are treating the fatal shooting of two Israeli embassy staffers in Washington, D.C. as a hate crime. Former Florida Congressman Ted Deutch is the CEO of the American Jewish Committee.
There is a role for all of us to play in fighting anti-Semitism so that we never see something like this happen again.
By a one-vote margin, the House passed President Trump's huge tax and spending package, White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt.
The Senate should pass this as quickly as possible and send it to President Trump's desk for a final signature.
But some Senate Republicans have expressed their opposition to that big spending bill. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael.